We welcome you to the PMRC radio show right here on 4. I'm your host. My name is Jack Mwale. And today, we're privileged to host from PMRC, Salim Kaunda, who is Head of Research and Analysis. Salim, good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning, Jack. Good to be here.
All right. So how's PMRC doing?
PMRC is great. How's it in BC?
Well, we are rocking.
Excellent.
Yes, we are rocking.
Excellent.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. Okay, so first things first. Last year, the government formulated the 7th National Development Plan, for 2020, from the year 2017 to 2021, to guide development delivery. So from a policy perspective, which I know you're very conversant with, how has been the implementation of the plan so far? Are we on course? Would you say we are?
Very interesting question. Thanks a lot. So, like you rightly put it, of course, last year, the government actually formulated the 7 NDP, which I think we as PMRC were also part of the process on being part of the technical committees to actually formulate the plan. However, for Volume 1 is the actual plan that people have actually seen. And then there is also a Volume 2, which is actually the implementation plan, which is also out. So I think if we look at the issue of implementation, the question is, are we on course? I would say we are on course, but more needs to be done. Mind you, 7 NDP is supposed to run from 2017 to 2021, and it was only launched, I think, last year in June or July, somewhere there. So you do understand that 2017 is gone, and we have 2018 moving up to 2021, and looking at all the other things that we have to actually look at. However, we should notice that developments have taken place, beginning with ward development committees that have been formulated at the lower level to actually assist with implementation from the lower level itself. Then also, interestingly, we should understand that the 7 NDP is being implemented largely with the same institutional arrangements for the previous plans. And I think the main difference now is that we have a specified ministry. That's the Ministry of National Development Planning, which is responsible for formulation and coordination. We also have cluster advisory groups, which have actually been formulated to replace the sector advisory groups. And all these are in the aim of speeding up implementation. Also, what we have noticed with our engagements, we've noticed that provincial administration across the country are prioritizing the 7 NDP. Various ministries across the country, across cabinet, are also prioritizing the 7 NDP. And I think there's been a call from the president that all the ministries and spending agencies should actually link their projects and programs in alignment with 7 NDP. So with those, we do understand that there are other strategies that are existing, but I think the call from the president is very clear, where everyone has to align their functions with 7 NDP. And I think, of course, we would have challenges in terms of, for example, finances and other people that have to move perhaps in centralization from the center to the periphery to actually actualize the implementation. So it's ongoing. I think to answer your question, it's ongoing, but I think that more needs to be done in terms of looking at the time frame that we have, and bearing that by 2021, we would be formulating now the 8th development plan. So we are on course. More needs to be done.
Great. Now, it goes without saying that there have been other, national development plans.
Yes.
There was the first, second, third. Now we're into the 7th.
Yes.
But before we talk about, when we talk more about the 7th National Development Plan,
yes,
what challenges would you say were faced by the previous, national development plans?
Exactly.
And what lessons, can we learn,
yes,
as we implement the 7th National Development Plan?
Yeah, very, very interesting question. I think it's important, to understand that more so the 6th and the RISNDP actually faced a number of challenges that we also as PMRC have profiled in our latest publication. And I think some of them are issues of inadequate financing, for example, whereby funds were allocated, but the alignment between the national budget and the plan actually was not that specified. And so you do understand that some of the programs in the plans were actually not implemented because of inadequate funds. And all these actually have been specified in the 7 NDP. Also, I think another challenge that was faced was the lack of implementation of decentralization policy, because we do understand that we've been talking about centralization for some time now, and it's in the spirit of enhancing service delivery. So as we look at service delivery in the 7 NDP, we should understand that it hinges upon how far we're going to implement decentralization, because different institutional arrangements need to be made, whereby people need to be moved from the center to the periphery to actually actualize some of those development programs. So it also had its own challenges. And for the previous plans, the fact that we have not fully decentralized was a challenge. So we should ask ourselves the same question. We are still not fully decentralized. So what would happen to the plan? So that's why we as a public policy think tank have been calling on government. We've been meeting with government. We met with parliament about last month to actually bring out other strategies that would expedite the decentralization implementation, because the S7 NDP really depends on decentralization as well. Then also the other challenge was, of course, the issue of poor uptake of results. So we noticed that within the implementation process of the previous plan, results would actually be generated, but then what you do with those results. For example, once M&D is conducted in terms of evaluation and monitoring, so those results would be put to the fore, but then it's like no action was taken in case there's a mission drift or there's misalignment. Mm-hmm. So that also affected, I think, the previous plans. And also lack of a national project monitoring appraisal system. We're talking about the government-wide M&D system as well, because we did not have that. It was hard for government to constantly track. No wonder this time around you notice that the president has been spearheading the issue of project monitoring, and he's come up with a position from State House of project monitoring. Yeah. He's also instituted ministries now, because 7NDP promotes ministerial linkages. I think we've noticed with the corona issue in Lusaka, we saw that recently he talked of infrastructure where ministers are supposed to work together and just radically move around and see the status of implementation of most of those projects. So I think this is a direct answer to what we faced last time with the previous development plans. And then also there was an issue of weak intersectoral coordination and program linkages. So you do understand that the previous plans were basically focusing on a ministry alone and how it should work. But 7NDP has come to promote about harmonization, coordination, and interministerial linkages. So you find that ministries are no longer working in silos. That's why we talked of cluster advisory groups, which ensure that different ministries are strategically put together towards the common development outcome. And that is what we have actually also seen. So those really were the major challenges that the previous plans faced. But we're glad because we've seen that steps are being taken, building upon what challenges were, so as to ensure that 7NDP responds differently and brings about different results. Lastly, I think you noticed that the president mentioned during the official opening of parliament, not this one, the previous one, where he mentioned that we should look at new development models and not models that have failed us in the past. So he was basically referring to how we implemented six national development plans. And so we can see directly that steps are being put in place, especially with the issue of ministerial task force. I think this is a very good thing, a very commendable thing that we have really not seen in the past, and it's promoting coordination and harmonization. So it answers the challenges that we saw from the past as well.
Great.
Yeah.
This is the PMRC radio show on Radio 4, and we are talking to Salim Kaunda, Head of Research and Analysis. Now tell me, broadly speaking, how are you as PMRC, you know, contributing to the implementation of the 7th National Development Plan?
Okay, so for us as PMRC, like I mentioned, we were privileged to be one of the institutions that were called upon in terms of the formulation of the plan, in terms of technical committees with other think tanks and CSs as well. So we were part of the process. Upon launching the process, I mean the document by the government, we have taken it upon ourselves to actually produce infographics that are one-pager, which actually simplifies the 7NDP. Because, mind you, Jack, we have to ensure that the majority of the citizens are aware of the contents of the 7NDP. For people who have to implement the plan, they have to be aware what is in the plan, what is expected of me as an implementer of the plan. So there is call for a lot of awareness. We cannot assume that because the plan is available, everyone really has understanding. Some of these things need interpretation. So that's the role that we've been playing, basically, to simplify the content, to bring about those key issues. We profile what the challenges were, like I mentioned. We profile what key reforms need to be put in place. We profile what is expected of implementers. We profile from the government side what government needs to do this time around differently to bring about new results. So we've been playing that role from the citizens, servicing the citizens part, and also serving the government side as well. And we have also produced other publications now focusing on the role of mindset, for example, where if we want to really be successful with 7NDP, we need to look at critically the issue of mindset. Because 7NDP itself mentions clearly that some of the negative traits of our culture have been detrimental to implementing the plan. So we've recently produced a publication that focuses on mindset, and the key recommendation is, of course, a national mindset education program that should be launched in Zambia to actually inculcate this positive mindset where people believe that Zambia can be that developed middle-income nation by the year 2030. Then also we've been conducting public lectures. Soon we'll be embarking on a countrywide sensitization tours with other stakeholders as well to, as much as possible, take the information out there, make people aware of the contents of the plan, and also just get feedback on what role citizens actually should also play. And then also, all our research as an institution as well is premised on the 7NDP, because we believe that is one way in which we can also contribute towards the plan. And as much as we are advocating for 7NDP, we also have to ensure that we are playing our role and our research is actually influenced by the plan, because ultimately this is a plan that was formulated by the collective effort of all Zambians from all sectors of society. So we believe that this is a plan that every Zambian should feel part of, that every Zambian should own, and that every Zambian should contribute towards implementation. We shouldn't look at government alone and just say, no, it's government who have to do this. I think we all have to be involved, and no wonder we are in the forefront advocating for implementation of the plans. And then also lastly on this one, we're also building on some of the key reforms in the 7NDP. Like we mentioned, it sets some of the key reforms that have to be undertaken if we are to be successful with implementation of the plan. So basically what we're doing, we are profiling them and also producing reform proposals on what exactly needs to be done in these reforms for them to be actualized, and then pave way for smooth implementation of the plan. So basically, that's some of the roles that we are playing as PMRC towards the implementation of the plan itself.
Great. But now, very quickly, just as a matter of interest, did you at any point, make any proposals to have this document, the 7th National Development Plan, be translated in Braille for the benefit of the visually impaired?
Yeah, interesting question. Actually, we have been producing some of our materials at PMRC, materials into Braille, also into local language, and then we've been partnering with the institution that deals with the disability, Zambia Disability Association. Okay. So basically what we are doing with the infographics that we have produced under the 7NDP, we are also going to translate those into Braille, and it's part of our agenda for the first half of this year, and also tap upon the community radio stations and also into local languages. So what we're basically doing, we're profiling those key components of the plan themselves that we feel every Zambian should actually be part of. So that's what we're working on, and of course it's still a call for more partnerships with more stakeholders. We will generate the information, we will simplify that, but of course then we need the other aspect of translating it into Braille. Otherwise, that is something that we have been doing as PMRC, and definitely we're going to continue doing that this year as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, my last question to you is, looking at the focus for 2018, what are the key strategic reforms that need to be addressed this year so we can enhance development commitments and aspirations as outlined in the 7th National Development Plan?
Okay, very, very interesting question. I think it's even interesting that Parliament just opened this week as well. So we do understand that there are quite a number of reforms that need to take place to pave way for smooth implementation. I think the one that stands out really is the issue of decentralization. We have talked about centralization for quite a long period of time. So the question is, why have we just not fully decentralized? The policy is there, the strategies are there. So these are the discussions that we had with Parliament recently, with the committees at Parliament, to just really learn lessons of how other countries actually did it, and then to bring them to Zambia and see what exactly needs to be done. And also, the end of last year, we conducted a survey as PMRC to just go around different councils, different parts of the country, to understand what their challenges are. And I think that survey really brought out a lot of results for us, which we submitted to the committees at Parliament to know what needs to be done. So you find sometimes it hinges on clarity. Just people just want clarity of those people that are moving, for example, from Lusaka to the periphery. It should not bring fear within the councils, for example. If someone has moved and come to join the council, it's in the spirit of centralization. But those people within the council sometimes should be open enough to embrace the new people who've come, the new functions, perhaps, also the issue of finances being attached with new roles. So there's all those. And to this effect, we're going to be producing the actual report. It should be ready soon, and we'll distribute it so that people know what the challenges are and what we should also look at. So decentralization comes in critical. The issue of budget reforms, I think, comes in critical. We're now looking at output-based budgeting. We have talked of the budget being aligned to 7NDP, and that's very important because the budget has to finance the plan. Exactly. The plan on its own will just remain a plan unless funds are actually attached to it. So there's the issue of output-based budgeting. If you look at public finance management, Parliament, I think, will also be discussing that soon, the issue of transparency and accountability. So these reforms in public finance, whereby people who actually abuse public funds should, I think, have punitive measures.
Exactly.
I think that's what we've also been propagating as PMRC, to say something more needs to be done so that people really do not touch public funds whatsoever, because those frustrate the efforts of the government. When government would mean well with the project, you find that one or two individuals, and all that is available in the Auditor General's report. So we've seen that for some time, and we are calling for stiffer measures in terms of public finance on how those offenders should actually be dealt with.
Okay. Great. Salim Kaunda, Head Research and Analysis, PMRC, thank you so much for finding time, you know, to be with us in the program. I'm hoping we can chat with you again in the very near future. You have a great day, and thanks for coming once again.
Thank you so much, Jack. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Great. This will do it for today's edition of the PMRC radio show. And do join us next week at the same time.